This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Wells Tech is back on the air. This is episode 353 for August 5th, 2014. This is a show about technology, ministry, and where those two meet, where those intersections are. We get to talk a lot about a lot of fun things, some cool things, but all for the sake of the gospel, and obviously helping me do that, Sally Draper. Hi, Sally.
Hey, Martin. Those two things meet on a Google Hangout today, not side by side like we were last week.
It's been a while since we've actually done this in our traditional format, and like most Lutherans, we struggle a little bit. Last week we had some audio challenges, so we apologize for that. That was all me, my fault. But it was good to have you on site, Sally.
It was nice to be there. Nice to meet with 49 enthusiastic Final Webbers who learned how to manage their websites in the classes that we offered last week. It was kind of a marathon, but well worth the time and energy we put into it. And I'm expecting great things from all our students.
So shout out to any of our new listeners that maybe heard about the show for the first time in our Final Web training. Those of you that don't know what Final Web is, it is our Synod's web hosting platform. Actually, it's not ours. It's a partnership we have with a company that provides that, and over 500 Wells organizations of all shapes, sizes, stripes, and approaches to ministry are using the tool. So it was good to get a number of those users together, all, I think, very enthusiastic about sharing the gospel and how the web can help that. And that's kind of what this show is all about, too, is figuring out how technology can do that. And one thing we figured out really early on, Sally, I don't know what the history is or the timetable is for our wiki, but we decided we needed a place to capture not only the things that we're talking about, but the things that others want to talk about. And a wiki is a great place to do that, the Wells Tech Wiki, which is now got a new home, or we're moving in to a new home. Maybe that's the best way to put it. WellsTechWiki.gapps for Google Apps. Wells.net. Sally's got it up there on the screen for those of you following along at home. And we're probably, I don't know, 60% of the way home here.
I'm hoping two-thirds. We're pushing into the 70s. And we're finishing up our look at the infrastructure category on the Wells Tech Wiki. So we've spent our time diving through these categories that are listed in the left navigation, just taking them from the top down. And infrastructure will be wrapped up today, Martin, with a discussion of streaming and recording. So it's all about broadcast on today's broadcast of Wells Tech.
Yeah. Kind of a little inception there. The approach we take is to have a shorter show over the summer and just kind of introduce topics and encourage participation. We do a little bit of work in the migration. We do a little cleanup from the old site into the new site, but we don't introduce a lot of new content. We'll maybe highlight or spotlight a few things that might be of interest. But as we're recognizing as we go through this, there is some oldy moldy stuff there too that we're either trying to clean out or need updated. And some of the stuff, in fact, most of the stuff on the wiki, we haven't created ourselves. So we're looking for people to come in and add that. And the ability to do that is pretty easy. There's a little link at the top of the page to request an account. Sally gets an email and ultimately gives you access, and away you go.
That's right. And one of the pages we'd like them to help update is all about audio podcasting. So an audio podcast is basically publishing audio files on the web with a bit of a feed attached to it so people can subscribe. And there's information on this page about how you go about doing that, what kind of equipment you need for audio podcasting and for editing audio files and that kind of thing. So if you are a podcaster and have experience, we'd love for you to come in and update this page. And just for what it's worth, Martin, as we were doing cleanup, we realized there was one page under infrastructure, which really wasn't infrastructure focused. it was a listing of non-worship podcasts. We actually moved that over to the church section. So if you're looking for some podcasts to subscribe to check out, there's several listed here, several that we're aware of that aren't just the weekly sermon type podcast that are listed in other areas of the church section.
Yep. The thing that struck me as I was looking through this section was the lack of progress maybe that has been made in the audio podcasting field. A lot of the stuff is still the same, and it's still helpful for somebody who doesn't know a lot about technology to have a step-by-step, and that's really what we'd be interested in plunking down on this page. There are some kind of out-of-the-box tools, but if you really want to do kind of a show kind of a thing, like we do, there are a number of steps necessary, including an RSS feed, including a blog, like we do for our show notes page, and then, of course, the hardware, which is real important to capture that good quality audio stream. So a lot of that's listed there, but we'd sure love some feedback from our listeners as well.
We do have a section in this area called case studies where a few people have shared what they're doing in terms of podcasting and where they put their feeds in Stitcher and iTunes and that kind of thing. And it also includes a page called Wells Tech Behind the Scenes where you and I kind of lifted the curtain and shared the equipment and setup and software and hardware that we're using to make Wells Tech happen. It's a little old. It's from January 2013.
Oh, look at the young us.
Yeah, turn back time.
The younger us's.
But most of it is still fairly accurate. We did do a little bit of updating. So.
And it is changing, too. There are some areas that are advancing faster than others. So I think the important additions to this page would be these case studies. Here's what I do. Because we know there are people out here doing this. There's a number of them. So how you do it and what you, the equipment you use, I think would be really valuable here.
Excellent. All right. Also on this area of the wiki, there's information about closed caption video. And there's a link to watch closed caption videos, so we have a page just dedicated to those that are doing closed captioning, and there's lots and lots of how-to information. Not sure how up-to-date it is. It may need a facelift, but great information about adding closed captioning and different standards for doing that, software for doing that. YouTube will actually automatically attempt to closed caption your videos, and there's another site, .sub.net, that is very popular for closed captioning and translation into other languages and things like that. So lots of potential there with closed captioning.
If I recall correctly, when I think it was John Shoesmith talked about this, he saw a dramatic increase in the visits to his videos because he closed captioned them. Maybe even by different with different languages as well, but that might be the encouragement needed for some to just go ahead and do this to increase the viewership of the important message that you have. Kind of a nice lead-in to the next section, next to last section that we're going to talk about today, and that's video editing. And I know from personal experience that rarely is a video good to go straight out of the box. You want to do some editing. And there are some options there, all the way from the Camtasia products, which Sally's talked about a number of times, some free. There's some online tools like WeVideo. The tool that I use, Adobe Premiere from Adobe, which has a whole suite of products, and just a lot of different options here that you might want to consider if you are just getting into video editing or if you're a veteran and want to share some of your experiences too.
Yep. And then finally, this section wraps up with video streaming. We spent some time on this in the Final Web class because Final Web is one of the players in the video streaming market. Streaming meaning real-time, live video that's accessible, for instance, your worship service, so that other people who can't be there in person can watch the live stream. So information here about different vendors and some of the software that's used in the process. Many of them now are so easy to use, you can even stream from your mobile device, and they use an encoder that then produces video that'll play on any mobile device as opposed to just flash video, which is kind of the defunct standard, actually encoding it in a way that'll translate to mobile devices that don't allow flash. So lots of technical stuff behind the scenes, but they make it really easy to do these days, Martin. So check out some of these vendors if you're interested in considering video streaming options.
And these areas are important, I think, to a lot of congregations and schools who are just kind of on the cusp of knowing that they would like to do more audio and video production. They're making plans for it, maybe budgetary plans, but also plans to implement this and promote it. And I think we'll be sensitive to that as we move forward into our new podcasting season, so to speak, once we're out of summer, and maybe do a show again on how we do it and some of the best practices that we've uncovered over the years to produce, hopefully, a decent quality product. So
I always smile when I think back on a conference that you and I attended together, Martin, probably 8 or 9 years ago. And time has changed so, things have changed so rapidly in that short amount of time, because this keynote speaker was talking about doing broadcasts on cable television. And, you know, now anyone basically can broadcast their message with the tools that are available using the internet. So it's a different day and age for us, and what a joy to take advantage of that to spread the good news.
So that's it for this week's WellsTech Wiki update. While we're on the topic, what's up next week's, or what are we doing next week for the Wiki side?
You know, I'll take a look at the Office category. We're going to kick off Office focus, looking at childcare management software as well as church management software. Software. So it's all about software and keeping up with all of the great data that's generated in your church or your childcare systems.
Yep, so tell your preschool director or church or school secretary this is the show for them. Let's move along to our tips and picks of the week. My tip of the week is pretty simple, and I was just thinking about this the other day. I've got two computers that I work with a majority of the time, one for the podcast and some mobile app coding, and one for my daily my daily work. And each of them comes equipped with an SD card reader. And each of them comes equipped with an SSD drive, a solid-state drive. So gone are the days, and I think most computers will be there shortly, that you have a spinning hard disk, but you have this solid-state drive. The only problem with solid-state drives is their cost and their capacity. So you have to pay a lot more in upfront cost to buy a solid-state drive that might equal the capacity of your spinning hard disk. But the value in doing that is really positive. But the advantage that you have if you buy a computer with expandable storage, this SD card slot, is that you can save quite a bit of money by buying a lower capacity solid-state drive. Let's say maybe you buy a 128-gigabyte solid-state drive versus the 256 or 512 gigabyte SSD drive, and then supplement that with an SD card. So some of them support micro SD cards, some of them are regular SD cards, but these cards have really come down in price. So I did a little math on the two computers that I have, a Surface and a MacBook, and in the case of the Surface, you can buy the lower-end SSD drive, supplement it with an equally large SD card, and save about $200. On a MacBook, MacBook Air, you could do the same thing and save about $150. You do have some advantages to doing this because it's removable storage. So you could move it from computer to computer, take it with you. So there are some advantages to that. Most of them have a way to kind of seamlessly put it in so it's not going to get chipped off or whatever. They click in. So when you're buying your next computer and you want an SSD drive and you're looking at, well, boy, it's going to cost me $300 extra to go from 128 gig to 256, kind of do the math and see if it supports SD cards and maybe consider expanding your storage through those. And when higher capacity SD cards come out, you can actually buy a higher capacity one, and you've increased your storage by whatever is on that card. So the SSD drive maybe can hold just your operating system, but maybe all your file storage, pictures, etc. can live on this SD card or SD micro card. So that's my tip of the week.
Interesting take on file storage, a very important topic for sure.
Yep. So. Sally, you have to, what's your pick or tip this week?
I do have a tip. I'm going to do a quick screen share for those watching, because you're just going to be amazed at this tip that I'm going to give you. And the tip is that if you think you know something you want to look up on the web, a website you'd like to visit, you can just type the word. So, for instance, if I'm interested in spam, I can just type the word and press Control Return. Instead of just a plain old return, if you press Control Return, it adds the www at the beginning and the .com at the end. And just like that, I landed on the spam website. So, lucky me, I don't even have to type out all those extra characters. I can just type the word, press Control Return, and it does the work for me. Now, if it turns out that it was spam.net, I'm going to be out of luck because it adds .com, but it's worth a try to land on the right site without too much typing. So
I thought I remember there being a keyboard shortcut for that too. Was it Alt maybe?
I don't know if you tried all the different
keys, but I thought you could actually pick one based on the different characters, the Control, the Alt, the Shift at the bottom. I could be wrong, but
the Wells. I tried Wells to get Wells.net, and Alt didn't do it for me. But I'll do some experimenting. Maybe so that'll be my tip for next
week. I'm curious why your example was spam. Is that what's for dinner tonight?
Maybe one of my kids would be excited, but I don't think that would fly very well at my house. So, no, I was trying to think of a site I hadn't been to that wouldn't come up in my typing. So I came up with spam.
So you'd never been to spam before, so we'd qualified.
Maybe not recently, at least.
I'm thinking they've got some good recipes on there. So
we actually went to the Spam Museum once. There's a Spam Museum in Austin, Minnesota, and it is a load of fun to visit. So if you have a chance, check it out.
Yeah, little known secret, one of my favorite family recipes, not on my side but on Debbie's side, is made with Spam. They're called broiler buns, and Spam and onions and cheese and...
Disguise it well, huh?
Yeah. It's really yummy. So.
Okay, good to know.
All right, what's your pick of the week?
My pick of the week is a PicMonkey pick, believe it or not. Spent last week convincing a room full of people that PicMonkey was a load of fun, and it's not hard to do because PicMonkey is a really easy image editor, and there's a Chrome plugin for PicMonkey that we've never featured on the podcast, believe it or not. So if you go get the Chrome extension, and I'll include the link in the show notes, it's just called PicMonkey extension. You can find it in the Chrome Web Store. When you click on the Chrome extension on any web page, it'll show you options for beginning to edit any of the images that are on that page. The first option is a screen capture of the web page as it's showing in your browser. So if you click that image thumbnail, it'll immediately open up and allow you to edit, or it picks up all the other images that are part of the page. So if you want to select a particular image on the page for editing, you can do that as well. When you click the button, a new tab opens. It's a PicMonkey window, and you're in edit mode, ready to either just save the image or do any kind of editing to it that you desire before you save the image. So just a really quick and easy way to get an image into PicMonkey using the PicMonkey extension. And I'm turning off my screen share so you can see my big monkey grin, because I love PicMonkey and it makes me smile. There you go.
Not even on the payroll. PicMonkey is a very cool tool, and Chrome extensions are awesome as well. That's one of the big selling points of using Chrome. Firefox has them too, but I think Chrome has surpassed them in capabilities. So,
Cool. I looked for a PicMonkey extension for Firefox and IE, and they don't exist.
Yeah, really?
Just a Chrome one. So they favor Chrome. Even in their help, they'll recommend that you use the Chrome browser. So there you have it. PicMonkey has spoken.
PicMonkey has spoken. Yeah. All right, my pick of the week is we're still in summer, and it's a fitness app. It's actually a family of fitness apps. How about that? Map My Fitness is one of the sites, but you could go to Map My Ride, Map My Hike, Map My Walk, Map My Workout, maybe just a whole series, and they all kind of aggregate into one site. And they have apps for iOS and Android. I don't know if they're on Windows Phone or not, but just good quality apps, and they all aggregate into one site where you can kind of see your history. If you've got friends who use the apps, their you know, their workouts would appear here just to encourage one another. So, for instance, I went on a walk yesterday with my lovely wife. We walked a little over 3.5 miles, an average 16 minutes a mile. Gives us a map. It'll aggregate over time how much you did walk or cycle. We did some cycling this past weekend, so we used an app for that. So it gives you the route that you went. It will tell you how many calories you burned. Just a good quality app, and I like it because they have different apps for different activities. It will sync with other calorie counters, so you can log food, and it'll pop in here from your other apps. It will sync with like Fitbits, those kinds of things. Just a good app that a good series of apps that is hosted online and does a nice job of kind of staying out of the way and giving you a chance just to keep track of what your fitness activities are. So I thought I'd throw in just a late summer pick there for a fitness app. You know, take care of the temple.
Excellent. We went on a walk last night as well, but we didn't walk as far as you guys. So now I'm going to get a little motivated. It's interesting. I've been using Runkeeper, and Jason Schmidt reached out and said, let's be friends on Runkeeper. So now I see when he does his bike rides or whatever, and it is a little motivational to have some competitive stuff going on there, too. So
I've used Runkeeper in the past as well.
So fun stuff.
Awesome.
All right, Martin, we have a conference to talk about. We are looking for presenters for the upcoming Wells Tech Conference 2015. It's going to be held July 9th through 11th at Country Springs Hotel and Conference Center. And if you have a topic that you think others would be interested in that addresses some tech in ministry, tech in education topic, we would really enjoy hearing about your ideas and considering you as a presenter for the Wells Tech Conference. And lucky you, you would get free entrance to all the conference events, $199 value. So check it out and do consider presenting for us at Wells Tech Conference 2015.
So that's www.wells.net/WellsTechConf. Where you can find all the good stuff there. I'm really looking forward to this. I can't wait. It's a little under a year away now, but we're already seeing some suggestions for presentations that I'd love to attend. So,
yep, it's going to be good.
Let's move on to our community feedback section. Who's talking to us?
This first one is a Pinterest pin. I'm not sure who is responsible for pinning things on Pinterest. Maybe me. Anyway, came from Pinterest. It's 8 printable classroom posters for device best practices. And they're just really good little PDF documents, like watch where you click, don't visit unapproved sites, leave the tricky stuff to the experts. It shows a kid taking apart a computer in a million different pieces. A reminder to save your work, think before you print, and so on. So just some nice little printables that could decorate your technology space in your classroom. I know there's a lot of teachers putting some final touches on their classrooms for the new school year, and perhaps these printables would help you to give good reminders to your students.
Like eyes on your own screen.
There you go. All right, next up.
By the way, Sally, have any of our listeners or viewers ever submitted a Pinterest submission?
Yes, they have. Okay. Many, many of them, actually.
Okay. Just checking that this is not just your own little personal
Hey, would it hurt if it was? Wasn't that a great pen?
No, whatever makes you happy. That's
Thank you, Martin. That's important. It's all about me.
It's just going to issue a challenge to our listeners to put that stuff up on Pinterest so we can share pins from people other than somebody named Sally.
Yeah, whatever. All right. We're going to share from Sean O'Connor, who reached out to us on our Facebook page. He asked the question, do you know of any churches using a VoIP like Magic Jack, Vonage, or NetDuo? VoIP is Voice Over Internet Protocol. He says NetDuo seems to have the best ratings for the best price. Sean, I am a complete dummy on this. I'm not aware of anyone doing that kind of thing, but I will point you to our Wells Tech listserv where someone asked questions about telephone systems just recently, and there was quite a bit of conversation there. So if you're interested, then you can read through the topics and responses that were shared here, because it was all over the place, lots of great details about different phone systems. So check it out.
Great. And thanks for your question, Sean.
Definitely. All right. A Digo link from our friend Jason Winjet, who said, we should take a look at, has Google put a warning on your site and you don't know it? Apparently, Google's search, or perhaps Google's mobile search, now indicates that websites use Flash. And it may not work on your device. So you get the option to try anyway or learn more. So they want to, you know, just give, especially mobile browsers that are particular about that, I'm thinking iOS browsers, the option to know that something that they are surfing to may not work appropriately. So interesting and something you might want to check out in relation to your church or school website.
Most of our Final Web customers are okay, I think, now in that regard, because I think Final Web converted all those Flash ones to HTML5. So, but you may want to check it out.
Okay. Also from Jason, he pointed to a website, Drawn by Faith. There was an article referencing it on the Church Mag site, and it's a set of cartoons related to different Bible stories. And I'm thinking that they're pretty creative. It might be fun to use in a confirmation class or whatever, but I'm a little confused by the site, because if you're looking at my screen, you can tell that each of the images has some what do you call that, watermarking? Their logo is overlaid. Let's see if I can click on one to make it larger. So it says Drawn by Faith on the image, and I can't find anywhere to download the images without the watermark, to purchase the images. As far as I can see, they're just shown here. And so
only.
Maybe there's more to come from Drawn by Faith. So put it on your radar, but I'm not quite sure how you can use the images properly. I read everything I could and didn't find any reference to licensing or purchasing or anything like that. So
very well done. I like
them. Yeah, I like them too. All right, and one shout out to our friend Noah Georgeson. Those of you that listened a few weeks ago may have heard us talking about Noah and the fact that he's listened to the entire history of Wells Tech Podcast. He's like our number one fan, and we sent him a badge for being a Wells Tech Hall of Famer for achieving that feat in a very short amount of time, going back and listening to all the history. I was really happy today to receive a badge in return from Noah, and it was the Super Talk Show badge. So we are the recipients of the first ever Super Talk Show badge award, Martin. It came to us as Wells Tech. So yeah. It says my name, but it's for both of us.
Yeah, I saw it in my email. That put a smile on my face.
For sure. Cool. That's what I got for community feedback, and I hear somebody's heading to the ballpark, so we better wrap this up quick.
Yeah, there's a Giants game where the Brewers happen to be playing. that would be tonight, so... It's Wells Night at Miller Park. So that's kind of cool. The first ever Wells Night at Miller Park. We're going to, I think, try and do this every year. So if you're ever in the area, you may want to pay attention to that. I think we'll try and do it next August as well. And next August, I think we're going to try and have President Schrader throw out the first pitch. Couldn't do it this year. We were in a little bit late, but I think we're going to shoot for that next year. So,
any idea how many Wellsers are planning to be there tonight, Martin?
No, somebody else asked me that. I don't remember, but it's a significant number. So we should have a majority of of a church body there.
Awesome. We sent President Zarling and Pastor Mike Otterstatter over from MLC to attend. So look for them and say hello.
Very good. Mm-hmm. We want to close the show with our featured video. We've been creating these playlists on YouTube for your enjoyment and also for us to have a place to capture these things. And Sally, you ran across a nice instructional video series.
Actually, thank you again to Jason Winjet for sharing this instructional video series. It's called Broadcast Now, and it's basically a video podcast, kind of like what we do, Martin. And I took a listen to the most recent one called Communicating While Broadcasting, and I think it's very well done. They have a series, they're in, up in the 80s or so, of the number of podcasts they've recorded. They have their own playlist. We added this particular show to our playlist just to tip you off to the fact that it exists. We'll embed it in our show notes as well, so give them a listen, and if you're interested, you can subscribe directly to the Broadcast Now playlist. We'll include that link in the show notes too.
Very timely, because we just talked about video streaming and podcasting. So this would
Absolutely.
Be something that you may want to latch on to if you're interested in doing that.
They're a little bit more techie than we are, I think. You know, nuts and bolts kind of guys.
Yeah, yeah. That's it for this week. Episode 353 is at an end. We are very appreciative of anybody who listens or watches our little humble podcast called Wells Tech. Now a number of years in the running, and we hope to keep going. And we do need you to support us. And the way you support us, obviously, is through prayer, but also through listening and contributing. And you can contribute, as we mentioned, on the wiki, but you can also contribute with your questions or comments. And there are lots of ways to do that. Basically, go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. You can find all the links there, or email wellstech@wells.net. Be happy to take those emails, share them with the class, and everybody wins as a result. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Got a game to go to. I will see you. We will see you next week.
Go Brewers.